Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, of the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Amen. We'll leave the reading there. You know, the Lord will add his blessing to it. Let's come before him now in prayer. Lord, we come before thee at this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking thy blessing upon us as we consider thy word. Lord, we are without thee nothing. Lord, we can understand nothing except thou, O Lord, dost reveal it to us. We pray, Lord, that thou'd still our hearts and still our minds as we would consider thy word. May we, O Lord, focus upon the things which thou hast said. Give us understanding. Give thy people joy. Give, O Lord, sinners that warning that they must repent. They must turn unto thee. They are to be saved. O Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah is often referred to as the fifth evangel or the fifth gospel because it contains such a comparison within it of firstly the dread and then the hope that the sinner has. Dread firstly because the sinner has offended a holy and almighty God. The Lord will not and cannot hold the sinner guiltless in his natural state. He is a just judge and must render unto the sinner that which is meet, that which is just. The word to sinners in the first part of this book, this prophecy, is that of condemnation then, of hopelessness, of judgment and of punishment. There is no hope for the natural man. He is lost. He is labouring under the burden of the law, labouring under that which condemns him. And that which only emphasizes and exacerbates that sinner's sin. And so the question could be asked, after reading the first part of this prophecy, is all hopelessness? Is there no hope of reconciliation? Of nearness again to God? The one who created me? Am I lost without question? That could well be a question that is asked. But the second part of the book gives hope. Hope of mercy. Hope of forgiveness. Hope of a substitute. Hope that once more the creature might draw near again to the Creator. But salvation from sin can be found. The soul is cast upon the mercy of God. Though in the first part of the prophecy sin is found to be abounding, in the second part we find the grace of God aboundeth more. Which picture is mentioned by Paul in his epistle to the Romans. The law entered, we find, in the fifth chapter. That the offence might abound. The law came in so that the sin would be emphasized. So that you would see how great your sin is. How sinful it is before God. How abominable. How great. How detestable. How heinous it was. The law entered that the offence might abound. The first part of this prophecy is all law. It is all sin. It is all condemnation. causing the offence, the sin, to abound to the senses. You cannot but know how great your sin is, for you see the wrath of God, the judgment of God that is to come. But, you find in Paul's sentence completed, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Literally, where sin abounded, grace superabounded. The offence is emphasised. The judgment of God is pronounced. The sentence is passed. Condemnation is placed upon the sinner. If you are outside of Christ this morning, you are condemned already. But then the grace of God comes in. The Lord is gracious. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. And so here is hope in the last 27 chapters of this book. And here we are in the 16th of those 27 chapters. Here is hope. Here is grace. Here is mercy. With these things comes a warning, an imperative, and the consequences of failure to treat these things with urgency and seriousness. Here we find the mighty truth of the invitation of the Lord to find him. What a merciful thing this is. When you consider the immense sin of man, and if you're saved this morning, you should have an understanding of what it is you are saved from. When you consider how you sinned against an almighty and infinite, eternal and unchangeable God, the Lord that filleth all in all, who has created the heavens and the earth, has caused all things that are to be, who upholds all of existence and of reality by the word of his power, who called creation into being, upon whom all creation is dependent, but yet upon creating all things, changed nothing within himself, because he is self-sufficient. This God, you have sinned against. You have offended this God. You have not merely done something that he has commanded you not to do. You have done something that is against his very person. Rebelled against his law. Rebelled against his rule. But yet here, we find an invitation of the Lord to find him. He that dwells in light and approachable. Hides himself at will. Plants his footsteps in the sea, rides upon the storm. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Here he says, seek ye the Lord. You consider the immense sin of man, the manifold perfections of God, which cannot be enumerated, cannot be comprehended. Then this is an amazing subject on which we are going to dwell this morning. My key focus in dealing with the subject is with the search itself. The Lord invites the sinner to find him. Those of us who are saved have found him already. Certain instructions are given both here and in other places in Scripture on how the search is to proceed. So let us then consider briefly this morning the subject. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The first thing that we must consider in regards to this text is that there must be a search. Of course, you will say that this is an obvious point, but it's very much a matter of urgency that it be clearly stated. The text states, seek and call. These words are in the imperative. That is, they are given in the voice of command. It is a necessary thing. The obligation is placed upon the hearer. The form of the grammar is in the imperative. And so the obligation is placed upon the hearer or the reader of the words. These words highlight then the necessity of the search. There must be a search. The necessity of the search suggests two things. It has two implications. The first implication that it has is the fact that there must be a search implies that there will also be a knowledge of a need for the thing that is searched for. I think this is clear, and nobody here would argue with me that this is not the case. Of course, if you're going to search for something, you must know that there is a need to find the thing that you are searching for. When I get up tomorrow morning, and I get dressed and prepare myself for the day, I will, before I leave, look for my car keys. Why? Because I will not be able to get to my destination without them. I know that I need them. Try as I might, without those keys, I'm not going to be going anywhere in my car. I need my keys. There is a need. Therefore, there is a search. This is plain. The second thing implied by the necessity of this search is that there will be a desire for the thing searched for. Let's take up that illustration of my search for my keys again. If I am entirely dispassionate and apathetic towards finding my keys, I am unlikely to find them, unless I send someone else to get them for me. If I merely sit down, have a cup of tea, a conversation with my wife, I won't find them. I have to actually want to find them. I have to get up. I have to engage my faculties for reasoning and memory and try to deduce where my car keys are. Where did I leave them? Did I pick them up at some point? If I pick them up, where am I likely to have put them after that? I have to think. I have to engage my brain. I have to make an effort. A desire has to be there. The desire will proceed, of course, from the fact that if I don't find my keys soon, I'm going to be late for work and incur the anger of my manager. I want to find my keys. Without my keys, I can get nowhere. I've not yet perfected the art of hot wiring a car. I have to find my keys. I desire to find them, so I search. The search implies these two things. The fact that you don't have the thing you search for is obvious, and of course the desire to find the thing you search for. You have to have these two things. Now, if there must be a search, and we've established that there must be a search, it is quite plain from the word of God here, seek ye the Lord, that there must be a search. And if we have established that these two things follow, that there is a need and a knowledge of that need, and that there is a desire to find, and thus an effort to find, perhaps here this morning there are those who are searching. A cliché term within the church for such a person is a seeker. We want a seeker-friendly church. We want a seeker-friendly ministry. And perhaps there is such a person here this morning who is searching. Maybe there is one here who has been coming for many years, attending for a period of time, yet still might be searching. Here is a verse commanding you to search. You have a need, perhaps, maybe an unspecified one, within yourself. You feel, perhaps, a void which seems unfillable by anything in this world, something that cannot satisfy you. You search perhaps with keen desire to find whatever it is that you search for. So you have a knowledge that you have a lack, you have a need, you have a desire for your goal. These things are present, and so you search. But if there are those here who do not search, and have never even come to Christ still the text applies. Because the implication here is not that you must necessarily feel, if that is the right word, your need, or even know about it. The fact remains that you have a need if you're outside of Christ. The need is clear, it is blatant. Whether you know it or not, the need exists. Know of a surety this morning that if you're unsaved, if you have never come to Christ and believed on his name, then your need is great. I am telling you. And so the command comes to each of us to search. Many have searched. They have sought out the only person who could have saved them. And now their search is over. They have found. His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. still others here, perhaps, still need to search. You must search. It is imperative. Well, not only is it clear here that there must be a search, it is also clear from the text that there must be a specific search. This necessary search must be specific. It is not an aimless searching that is commanded here. It is not a wandering search or a hazard search. Not a search with no specific goal, nor a search which takes the searcher here, there, and everywhere. But it is a specific, it is a definite, it is a focused search. The search must be specific in a number of ways. It must be specific, firstly, in its mark. I use the term mark in the sense of its aim. That which is the goal of the search. This goal must be specific. The search is not to be undefined, inexact, uncertain. The goal of the search is the Lord himself. Seek ye the Lord. Call ye upon him. The goal of the search is the Lord. And again, the text is clear. I'm not expounding mysteries here. It's plain to see from the plain reading of the Word of God. Seek ye the Lord. Are you seeking after the right thing this morning? Are you seeking the Lord? Is it your Creator that you seek for? Or is it something else? The Word of God is clear in its instruction to you this morning. Seek ye the Lord. Seek him only. Seek him now. Seek ye the Lord. Call ye upon him. This prophecy came to the nation that God had chosen. It came to the people of God. And here the Lord is commanding his own people to seek him. They had gone astray. How easy it is for those of us who are Christians to go astray from the Lord. It doesn't take much. It takes a desire in the wrong place. A slight shifting of our focus. Over time this happens. And so we are called to refocus again and again. Seek not those things which are below upon this earth, but seek that which is in heaven. We read that in Colossians. Again, throughout the Word of God, the call comes to the Christian to refocus. The things of this world beset the Christian on every side. There are distractions on every hand. There are comforts and there are luxuries. There are pleasures. There are even the smallest things which pull our eyes away from the Lord and onto those things. We shift our gaze from that which is above, where Christ sitteth, the majesty on high, upon the earth. The things of heaven grow strangely dim in the light of the glory of this world. And that is not correct, but yet it is a reality. And so the call comes to each one of us this morning, seek ye the Lord. What are you seeking this morning? Why, though, is this search so specific? Why is it, you might ask, that this search must be after the Lord? Can I not find what I seek, what I lack somewhere else? Can nothing else satisfy this need that I have? Must it be the Lord that I search for? My answer to that question is that it is the Lord and the Lord alone who can satisfy your need, because he is the only Saviour and there is none else beside him. Where else can you find a treasure so rich but in the Lord? The God of heaven, who alone created the heavens and the earth, who commands the sun that it should rise and set. He said even in this very prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 11, I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Saviour. I ask you now, how do you get around that statement? Beside him there is no Saviour. That is why. He makes himself the Saviour from sin. Jehovah our salvation. Jehovah Yeshua. Hebrew form of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily found. Search, taste, and see his glory, see his holiness, his greatness, his power. Observe his truth, his wisdom, his beauty. Taste and see his goodness, his faithfulness, his authority, his justice. Look upon his wrath, his grace, his mercy, his presence, his person. Apprehend these, his perfections, with your senses, and then answer your own question. Why the Lord? To search for anything else in this world would be utter folly. It is folly that sinners outside of Christ look everywhere but the Lord for fulfillment in their lives. They look for pleasures. They look for drink. They look for social engagement. They look for wealth. They look for image. They can find nothing because all is vanity. That is folly. But what is greater folly this morning is when one who claims the name of Christ and who professes that they are his, who says, I am his and he is mine, they, when they go forth and they look for satisfaction in these things, they say they own the Lord Jesus Christ, he that fills all in all, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But yet they search for satisfaction in the world. That is more foolish. That is a rebuke to each one of us this morning who are inside Christ, who are saved, who know his grace in our lives. Yet so often we look to this world for our satisfaction. That is a condemnation upon us. May we seek to set it right this morning. If you're outside of Christ, of the Lord's presence that you lack, is the fact that this morning you are separated from God and far from him. The fact that he exists only as a judge and a condemner of you. As your creator and thus the sole arbiter of your destiny. You are in his hand this morning. But yet you do not have his favor. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is no light thing. Fear and tremble, exceedingly quake before the Lord if you have not found favor in his eyes. This is what you lack, and thus this is what you must seek. The favour of the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. It may be that he will have mercy on you if you seek him, but it is certain that his judgment will fall upon you if you do not. It is specific in its mark. It is specific also in its manner. The search after the Lord should be diligent and intense. Your very soul depends upon it. Only if you search with all diligence and intensity will you find him. There should be urgency in your search. Have you found him yet? Have you called out to him? Have you cast yourself upon his mercy? Or are you still in great pride of heart or ignorance this morning, seeking to satisfy his justice? Or maybe not even that. Maybe you seek only to satisfy your own desires, the lusts of the flesh, seeking to do what pleases you, the things that you like. And there is a God waiting to judge you. You have no thought for the Lord, let alone a desire after finding him. There is no urgency, no intensity or diligence. You're apathetic this morning. Your attitude is this: if I find him, then well, but if not, then it's only a small loss. Perhaps these are not your actual words, but the words that best describe your attitude. You search in the same way as a man searches while he goes about his business and sees a coin upon the ground and picks it up. He was not searching for it, but he did find it. But his attitude is not one of intensity of searching or joy in finding. Had he not found it, it would not have mattered because he would not have missed it. Is that the way that you think this morning? Haphazardly. Let me tell you that the Lord is of inestimably more value than a coin. Not only this, but it takes a dedicated and intense search to find him. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, we find the words of the Lord to his people once more. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. He will be found when you search for him with all of your heart. He will be found only in that way. No half-hearted search shall yield results in this search. You must search for him with all diligence, with fervency of desire. Your heart is involved here, or the search is vain. In fact, if the heart is not involved, and not involved absolutely, it is not a search at all. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Do you search? Do you search correctly? Make sure it is done this morning. The search is also specific in its method. As I mentioned, the instructions that are given here and throughout Scripture on how the search is to be carried out. This is the method then. Where first do you search? Can I find the Lord in the philosophical writings of men? Can I find the Lord, the true God of heaven, in the religious litanies of this world? Can the mental furnishings that I have provide me with the location of the Lord? The Lord is great. He is mighty. He is not, as he said to Job, a sea or a whale that man may set a watch over him. The psalmist cries to the Lord, thy way is in the sea and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. He is not a man that dictates how, it is not man that dictates how he will find the Lord. Man does not dictate the method. The Lord dictates the method. The Lord himself reveals himself to man. That is the truth. That man can only know the Lord as the Lord reveals himself to him. Only in those ways and in those places that the Lord has revealed himself will he be found. And where and how and in whom has he revealed himself? He has, first of all, revealed himself in Scripture. The Word of God contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. And these are the only place where God has revealed himself to us. These are the only rule whereby we may learn how we can glorify and enjoy God, which is man's chief purpose. Are you searching in the right places this morning? Where are you looking? Do you search within yourself, in friends, in pleasures, in self-service, for that which satisfies? You should be searching the Scriptures. The place where God has most manifestly and clearly revealed himself is the Word of God and in the person of his Son. God the Son, taking into union with himself, his incarnation, human nature, a body and a reasonable soul. He is the revelation of God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Here then is the Lord Almighty, the great I Am. The Lord Jehovah revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. Here then is the Lord. Here you may find him. And what does he say to you in tenderness and pity? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Therefore search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. Perhaps there is one here this morning who thinks because they are in church, thinks because they have read the word of God this morning that somehow they are better off. But it is not merely that you come to church or you read the Bible or sing the hymns. It is what is contained within them. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Perhaps in coming to church you think you have eternal life. Perhaps in reading the word of God you think you have eternal life. Perhaps in singing the hymns. Perhaps in living a good life. Perhaps in good acts. Perhaps in not being that bad, you think you have eternal life. But these things, are they that testify of Christ? Do it this morning. Holding and reading the Bible is not enough. Being in church is not enough. Nominal Christianity, in name only, that is not enough. You must search out the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God where He is testified of. That is where you must search. I must tell you not only where you must search, but I must inform you how you must search. Well, the method is clear here. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Notice the form and structure of this sentence. The sentence is made up of two parts. Each part contains a dependent clause. Both dependent clauses are saying similar things. While he may be found, and while he is near. And this is a form in the Hebrew language of poetry. A way of describing the same event in two different ways. So while he may be found, and while he is near, are the same thing. There's a difference, of course. But the idea put forward is an ease of finding. The Lord is near, and the Lord is able to be found. The fact that primary clause, seek ye the Lord, and the other one, call ye upon Him, are also referring to the same thing. They are equivalent. The grammatical structure makes seek ye the Lord and call ye upon Him the same. They are pointing at the same act. And all that to say that what we are clearly shown here is that seeking the Lord is the same as calling upon Him. My reasoning here is also backed up throughout Scripture, where seeking the Lord is also known as calling upon Him. We seek the Lord's face, we are praying. We seek His person. That is the same as prayer. The same as calling out to Him. When we come to pray, we seek the Lord. So when we speak of a method of the search, and when we are being told here to seek the Lord, and you're asking, how do I seek the Lord? The answer is here also. Call upon Him. You ask, how do I search for the Lord? This is the answer. You seek the Lord in prayer. You call upon His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're outside of Christ this morning and call upon Him, do it immediately. Out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Out of Christ, without a Saviour, no help nor refuge nigh. How can you, my friend and brother, dare to live or dare to die? How can you continue as you are, lost, far off from God, you're condemned already, the wrath of God abides upon you. Turn to Him and search Him out. Seek Him, you might find mercy with Him. Go with faith, go with repentance, that He might forgive. Plenteous grace with Him is found, grace to cover all your sin. But you must search Him out first. I close this morning, I finish upon a note of solemnity and seriousness. I've mentioned already the imperative nature of this command from the outset. Now I finish upon that same fact. This search is imperative. You must seek the Lord. You must call upon him. The search is imperative as to time. The word while implies that there is a limit as to time. There will be a time when you will not be able to seek and not be able to call. Your eyes will be finally blinded. You will not be able to search. Your mouth will be stopped and you will no longer be able to call upon the name of the Lord. There will then be no seeking. There will then be no calling. The time will be up. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The search is imperative also as to proximity. Now the Lord is near. Now the Lord is at hand. Now if you search for him, he will be found of you if you seek for him with all of your might. But that fact implies that there will come a time when the Lord will no longer be near, that your cause will be in vain and you will finally be separated from him. In mercy and in grace, he is near you now. He now invites you to call upon him, but then no longer will he be close in proximity. Then all hopes that your calls will be answered will be gone. Finally and lastly, this search is imperative as to discovery. At present he will be found of you, for he calls you to seek for him. But that implies that there will come a time when he will no longer be found of you. He has made himself available to be found, to be discovered. He has given you the scriptures which reveal him. But you must search for him now. Wait, and after a time he will no longer be found. And you cannot find him by your own devices. He will be found only while he allows himself to be found. And on that day of judgment, when you stand before him and you seek for a God of grace and of mercy and forgiveness, you will not find him. You will find then only a judge, a God of justice, of holiness, and of wrath with your sin. And your only experience of God will be that, his anger, his judgment upon you. Then it will be too late. You will have sinned away the day of grace. You will have sinned away your chance. You could have come to him. He was near. He was able to be found. You didn't search. You didn't call upon him. Another opportunity you have. Do not sin away this moment by rejecting him. Do not sin away the time when he is near, when he will be found. Seek him now. Call upon him now, for there will come a time when it is too late. Thus saith the Lord. Let's pray.